This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Future Farm Botanicals Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex, a natural solution to chronic pain. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and it's our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer your questions. We're happy to receive lots of questions this week. Keep them coming. Radio program at AOL.com is the destination for questions. We've got some good ones in the mailbag, but how are you doing, Layla?
Good. Good, Dr. Hoffman. How are you?
Good. Layla's our nutritionist in residence, and she capably teams with me. You know, it's kind of like a wrestling tag team when we grapple with your questions.
Yes.
So together, we have a collective mind, and we harness our respective areas of expertise to answer your questions. But unfortunately, which is something that's become kind of a weekly tradition, is we got to focus on the coronavirus. And the coronavirus is something that is still rampant. And
still very concerning.
They actually don't even know what to call it.
COVID.
Yeah, COVID is the disease.
Yeah.
And there's some controversy. It's almost like, you know, what are they going to call it this week? It seems to me that there's been a cease and desist letter written by the makers of Corona beer so that they don't impugn the name Corona. Because now they have to rename the virus. So this is kind of funny, the scientists, you know, having their nerdy little arguments. There's an article in The Lancet, which is the world's leading medical journal. And the new virus was named, this is a pretty unwieldy name, the 2019 nCoV.
nCoV.
The 2019 nCoV by the World Health Organization. That was the initial name. However, this is kind of like musical chairs. They then, the International Committee on Virus Taxonomy, which is the naming group, suggested that they designate 2019 nCoV. By the way, COVID-19 is the disease. Then the virus has a different name.
Oh.
So we can call it the coronavirus, but no, that's just like, that's too simple.
Okay.
And there are a lot of coronaviruses. So they...
But only one coronavirus.
They suggested that they call the coronavirus SARS-CoV-2.
Oh, boy.
Now, the problem is SARS is super scary. I mean, SARS killed 30% of people who caught it. Of interest is that there are now 10 times more cases of this new coronavirus than SARS, which happened, what, 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
But remember, it was a big scare then, earlier this decade, right? And hit the stock market. And by the way, the market was down over 1,000 points yesterday. I have really been following it this morning, but it's back up, you know.
Yeah. It's time to buy.
Could be a dead cat bounce.
It's a fire sale.
But a lot of people, you know, think like, yeah, you know, just buy, you know, sell high, buy low. So this is in wake of the fact that it has spread. The reports from China are that they're somewhat containing it. There are reports of fewer cases of the new virus. It's not like going in turning into the zombie apocalypse in China.
Right. And how much can we trust that reporting?
That's a problem. See, they're shooting themselves in the foot because their reporting is extremely unreliable. There's tremendous censorship.
Yeah.
There's, you know, individuals who criticize the government, they disappear. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, like one Chinese doctor blew the whistle on this early on, they die.
Yeah.
They die. But, you know, one could say he was exposed to a tremendous viral load. But
Or a communist regime.
But it's now... It's now spread. And, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, we'll get back to the name thing in just a minute. It's a little bit like, you know, there's this old meme about, you know, when it comes to terrorism, we've got to be right 100% of the time. They've got to be right just once.
Mm.
And so, you know, with these quarantines have been porous.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've made some major mistakes. The Japanese made mistakes in letting people off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
We made mistakes in terms of putting people on a plane.
Yes.
They put people on who tested positive. They said, you know, you're already off the ship. You know, you want to go home. Okay, we'll be merciful. We'll put you on the plane. What about the other people who hadn't been yet infected?
Yeah.
Oh, they were protected. What do they do? They put a plastic sheeting in the plane with duct tape.
How? That's no...
On a plane?
On a plane. Yeah, that's not going to work. And the recirculated air goes everywhere.
It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. So anyway, it's spread to Italy. Why Italy? Why do you think?
Mm.
Oh, you know, you buy that, luxury Italian leather bag.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And it, because, why? Because you don't want to get
stuff
made.
It's made in China.
You don't want to get stuff that's made in China. No. In Italy.
In Italy, yeah.
Maybe from a factory in Florence or Milan or in, you know, the outskirts of Rome.
Mm.
Chinese workers.
Yes.
Sweatshops.
Mm-hmm.
Illegal workers coming and going.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's a lot, big time in Italy.
Cheap labor.
Iran. What's up with that? Why Iran?
And their health department is not going to be...
The Chinese have... And plus, no transparency. We don't know what... I mean, talk about China being bad. We have no idea what's going on there. The thing with Iran is the Chinese have a very ambitious what's called Belt and Road project, which is their form of economic imperialism. They send workers to underdeveloped countries, and they build roads, and they build electrification systems, and they build water supplies and everything.
Yeah.
And then that's their foot in the door in terms of, you know, getting into underdeveloped countries. And they want to do that in Africa. They want to do that in underdeveloped countries in the Middle East and Asia. And, you know, and they're in Iran. So it happened in Iran.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer reliable anymore to say, oh, this person looks Asian.
Yeah.
Let's screen them. Anybody can be a carrier.
Right.
There's a report now of a guy who came down with us 27 days after exposure.
Oh, my. So what does that say about the incubation period?
So for over 3 weeks, he might have been contagious. No fever, no symptoms.
Right. And who did he come in contact with? And will he remember all of that?
Right.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a big mess.
Yeah.
So anyway, come back to the naming thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the way, I called this on Saturday on my radio show. I said, cat's out of the bag. It's spread. It's not contained to China.
Yeah.
Right? The good news, it kills 2% of people. And in China, that may be an overestimate because there may be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who have mild symptoms who are hiding from the government because they don't want to get rounded up and put into, you know, quarantine camps.
Okay. So 2% are the ones where...
2% die.
Die.
So
as opposed to SARS, which was 30%.
30%. Yeah, so it's less deadly. It may mutate into something more,
That can always happen.
More deadly.
Right?
Or less deadly. It might turn into like, you know, the cold that you got in 2020. That was SARS.
Mm-hmm.
It was Corona. It's coronavirus. So anyway, they say in The Lancet, there's this article where they argue that the new name SARS-CoV-2 will create a lot of alarm because it's distinct from SARS. It's not as deadly. It's misleading to call it a SARS virus.
Yeah.
So they propose that the name should be Human Coronavirus 2019, HCOV-19. That will be the name of the virus.
Okay.
HCoV-19.
HCoV-19.
So let's see if that catches on.
Hmm.
Okay. But COVID-19 is not the virus. It's the disease it causes.
It's the disease. Okay.
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 So let's get our terminology straight here.
Right.
We can't contain the terminology.
Yeah.
And there's an article in the Wall Street Journal. It's kind of an interesting article. It's about how the panic that it's causing and engendering is worse than the virus itself. You know, it's talk about something going viral.
Yeah.
You know, the concern, the preoccupation.
You think it's just overreaction to some degree?
You know, I bought a diving mask because I'm going diving this next month.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a new mask because I'm a new prescription. And I told the optician, I said, you know, I can just walk down the street wearing this on the way home. I said, nobody would say anything. They would just say, oh, there's a guy. He's like, I guess he's more concerned than most people about the SARS virus. They're wearing like this big honking diving mask.
Uh-huh.
You know, this black, you know, thing, goggle-like thing. You know, it could be the new look for, you know, walking down Fifth Avenue.
Right. Start a fashion trend. Dr. Hoffman.
A mass panic is what it would do.
Oh, no. Oh, my
goodness. People might just go to the other side of the street, you know.
Yeah.
But I do see a lot. You see people with masks.
I'm seeing more and more people with masks
on the subway.
I'm seeing more and more people with masks.
Right.
And, you know, it's...
Not just Asians.
No, not just Asians.
So it's an equal opportunity.
Seeing maybe last subway ride I took, 3 or 4 people had masks on in the subway car that I was in.
Right. And I foresee that the mess will be, like, let's say there is a, you know, an outbreak and, you know, it spreads. Anybody...
Yeah.
Who has a little sniffle or a cough will be suspect.
Yeah.
And
that's everybody's reaction. What if I ask myself,
you know, I get a cold occasionally, in spite of everything I've done. I mean, knock wood, I've been good this season.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I have a cold, you know, I come to work blowing my nose.
Yeah.
Are my patients going to be totally freaked out? Should I absolutely stay home, cancel all my patients because I have a little minor cold?
No. No.
But under those circumstances, I will be a pariah.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
You want to go to a doctor who's got some kind of respiratory virus? I don't think so.
You know, if it's just a little cold.
But who knows?
But who knows is right. Okay.
And right. And there's not
so enough. So we have to suspect everything.
There's not enough tests. It's like, I mean, if I have a patient coming in today who is like 4+ sick and they're Asian and they've been to China, you know, first of all, I'm going to probably hide under my desk.
Oh my!
And you know, number two, I don't have a blood. I don't have a blood test for that. I would have to say, I'm sorry, you have to go to the health department. You know, to get one of those very specific tests.
Right.
I don't even know. I mean, this is an amazing story.
Hmm.
I read a story of a guy who had a fever.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come back from China. He was, I guess, I don't know what nationality he was, but he was came back to America, where he lives, and he was in China, and he had a fever. And so he said, well, I would just go to CVS, buy some, you know, cold and flu remedy, and I would, you know, wait it out at home.
Yeah.
But he said, you know, patriotically, he went to the hospital, and immediately, you know, when they saw him with this, he came from China, they, like, created like an isolation protocol.
Just because he came from China.
Right.
Wow.
And they wanted to do, you know, all kinds of tests. And they did, you know, they said, we need to do a lung CAT scan on you to see if you have pneumonia.
Wow. Yeah.
So the guy said, look, I don't have much insurance. How much is that going to cost? And they said, well, you know, that's like $1,200. He said, look, why don't you just test me for the flu? If I have the flu, then I probably don't have the coronavirus. And then I can go home. Right. Mm-hmm. So they said, okay, fine. Well, they test him for the flu. They have a rapid flu test that can deliver results within, you know, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out he had the flu.
Mm.
So they sent him home. So a few days later, he gets the bill from the hospital. It's like $3,271.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Because he had all this, you know, isolation, emergency care.
Right.
You know, blah, blah, blah.
And may we mention that that's another reason people aren't going. It's still the state of health insurance, which is miserable.
Right.
And people are afraid and they don't want to do that kind of outlay.
Exactly.
Especially when, you know, you don't know up front what you're getting.
Right. I mean, it's a disincentive to to come forward and get tested. I mean,
you don't know what you're getting, meaning in terms of the bill, is what I mean.
You know, it's like the law of best intentions. No good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
Poor guy. So they said, okay, we'll negotiate it down. It'll only be $1,400.
Wow.
Poor guy.
Yes.
You know, his insurance denied it because it's like some super high deductible insurance.
Mm-hmm. And why did you go to the ER before calling us? And
did you get a pre-approval? Right. You
know, exactly.
Oh, here's the other thing.
What?
They wanted to see. They're not sure if they're gonna make it $1,400 because they say that it might be a pre-existing illness.
Oh no! Ba-dum-bum.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay, so we could go like on and on about this SARS thing. Look, bottom line is, I'm not that worried about it. I'm mostly worried about the disruption that it's going to cause because I have some trips planned this year, and I just hope that it doesn't make it really unpleasant to travel.
Right. Well, you have some trips, so how are you preparing yourself for your trips, if I may ask?
The way I usually do, which is, look, before this thing developed, I said, it's the winter. I often get, a little cold or flu. Yeah. It's been, bad the past couple of years.
And some people get a cold just from airplane
travel. I'm taking so what I've added to my regimen, which is vitamin C and D and all the vitamins and things like that, is I've added cordyceps. And I also take maitake mushroom extract. I take a concentrated maitake extract. It was very good for her immune system and for cancer.
Yep.
There was a guy in the office here who is a colleague, a fellow physician, and he was just getting cold after cold after cold. I said, "What? Another cold?" So actually, I got a call from him over the weekend, which is unusual, and he said, "I got another cold." I said, "Look, I'm going to prescribe some stuff for you." So I gave him a bunch of supplements to take, some of the ones that I take. Mm-hmm. I also gave him what's it called? Virex?
V-Clear.
Viracid.
Oh, Viracid. Viracid is a good one.
Which
I
is by Orthomolecular. Echinacea, astragalus, and all these other things.
Right, some vitamin A.
Which you can take for maintenance at a low level, but when you get sick, you can take higher levels. Six a day.
Yes.
But, ordinarily you take two a day.
Yeah.
So,
V-Clear is helpful too, African geranium.
Yeah, I'm going to wash my hands.
Yes.
If there's really a concern, I'm going to get an N95 mask, which, by the way, the masks, the regular paper masks, are more to protect other people from you than to get protection from other people because they're porous enough to allow the virus to come in.
All right, well, we need two-way masks.
Right, but the work both ways.
Yeah.
But the main thing when people wear masks is if they cough or sneeze, then they sneeze into their own, the phlegm goes into the mask.
I see. Yeah.
But it is possible for the virus to penetrate most cheap paper masks. The N95 mask is a more protected mask.
But
they need to protect your eyes too.
Yes.
Really.
So would you recommend flying?
I will wear my dive mask.
You will?
I'm kidding. I can't breathe with that.
What about a paper mask? Would you wear that flying?
I don't know.
Wear it on the subway.
It's partly.
Why not?
It's partly the psychology of it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Because it's like, what does it
tell? Or people might just look at you and be afraid.
It tells you, it's hard to distinguish. The mask, you could write on the mask like, I'm not sick, I'm just protecting myself. But the mask connotes that you're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. We're riffing on coronavirus. And folks, I hope we don't have to do this because I'd like to.
Yeah.
I'd like to get back to our usual preamble, which is some new scientific finding that is of interest to you. Good point at which to pause because we want to allow one of our sponsors an opportunity to share this vital message with you. Here goes. Listen up. Do you suffer with chronic pain? Are you taking risky over-the-counter or prescription anti-inflammatory drugs? This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman with a better natural solution from Future Farm Botanicals, Liquid Turmeric Liposome Complex. Future Farm's liquid turmeric with liposomes and nanotechnology delivers maximum absorption for effective pain relief. Sourced and manufactured in the United States, this product contains 1,600 milligrams of curcumin and powerful antioxidant properties. This plant-based curcumin is used to possibly reduce inflammation, block proteins that trigger swelling, and intercept inflammatory pathways, significantly decreasing inflammatory responses. For more information and to order, call 888-841-7216, 888-841-7216, or go to myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. That's future, P-H-A-R-M, myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. Don't live with pain when there's an all-natural, science-based remedy that works. Take advantage of Future Farm's buy two, get one free offer at myfuturefarm.com/Hoffman. thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting our sponsors. They're what make intelligent medicine a free resource for you.
Exactly.
But let's take some questions.
We have a very interesting email from Cheryl. Dear Dr. Hoffman, the FDA has sued the company that makes Ostinol on the grounds of false advertising. You recommend Ostinol as part of your bone protocol. I take it as well as other supplements that are part of your bone protocol. Do you still recommend Ostinol in this light, or would you recommend now stopping it and replacing it with something else?
So thank you for calling this to my attention. And, we have, in the spirit of full disclosure here, we got to, talk about this. Mm. There's an article that just came out this month, in February. FTC, Federal Trade Commission, sues the company Zycal Bioceuticals that makes Ostinol.
Ah, okay. So it's the FTC, not the FDA.
Right.
Okay.
They got it wrong. Mm-hmm. I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah.
But so here's the deal. First of all, they're not always right, the FTC. Mm. The FTC sued my own professional organization, the American College for Advancement in Medicine, in about, I think it was like early in the 2000s.
Okay.
And it was a horrible thing because you cannot fight the government. I was on the board of the American College for Advancement of Medicine.
You were
and
president
they said
for
we
a
were
time.
Making yep. exaggerated claims about chelation therapy. So we said we can fight this because we have the science on our side. We believe chelation therapy is really helpful, but we didn't at that time, unfortunately, have the TACT study, which only came out a few years later.
Yes.
Which actually demonstrated in an article in Journal of the American Medical Association, didn't get much better than that, that there was a benefit to chelation therapy.
Vindication.
In terms of cardiovascular protection and prevention. So we said we could fight this, but then we talked to our attorney, and our attorney said, this is minimally a $500,000 case, and it could run you as much as $2 million to fight the Federal Trade Commission.
Oh, so, my goodness.
So we said, we can't afford that. It's just would tank the organization.
Nobody can afford that.
So when FTC, the power of the government behind it, and staff lawyers, we have to hire our lawyer. They already have people who are on the government payroll, attacks you. You got to settle. So this is what we settled. And there was no monetary penalty, but we put up on our website for years that, some disclaimer that, chelation therapy has not been demonstrated to be helpful, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
And they said, well, you got to keep that up there for 5 years, something like that. And, we had to retract all our claims. We also had to not, disseminate information about the benefits of chelation therapy. It was a muzzling. Now, this similar thing happened with Zycal. Zycal paid a small fine, and they withdrew their commercials, and they have to send their customers a letter acknowledging that they are agreeing to stop making claims that the product grows bone or cartilage. So I don't think that necessarily invalidates my recommendation. I am not...
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a black eye or bloody nose for Zycal because they ran afoul of the FTC. But in my book, that is not necessarily that doesn't put them in the realm of some, bogus male potency product that has,
or here's your magic diet pill.
That's laced with Viagra or something.
Right.
Or that, like a diet pill that's laced with Speed or something. I just think that they are saying, and this often happens with supplements, is that you can't make medical claims.
Right.
So they got too aggressive. It's like, you notice when a lot of the commercials for supplements and labels for supplements say, this product supports healthy blood pressure within a normal range.
Supports healthy blood pressure already within the normal range.
Because otherwise, you can't say it is antihypertensive because then it becomes a drug. It has a medical thing. That's the nature of DSHE, the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act.
Yeah.
So, we'd say First Amendment, First Amendment, First Amendment. But, when it comes to citing studies, and they do have studies.
Yes.
I'll admit, there's studies, they could have more studies. It'd be nice if they had more, bigger, more robust studies to show the benefits of this. But no amount of studies could actually allow you to make medical claims about a supplement, because when you make medical claims about something, it becomes a drug.
It becomes
then
a
they
drug
have to go to the FDA for approval.
Yeah.
So, you know, this could happen to any number of companies.
Yes.
What FTC is doing is they're playing whack-a-mole. And there are so many companies out making much more outlandish claims than Zycal is making. But the FDA hasn't, the FTC hasn't gotten around to it. You know, FDA steps in when there's harm.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's like poison.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's people are dropping like flies or something.
Right.
Like FDA is going to like, yank it from the market. FTC is concerned with advertising.
With advertising.
Right.
And the terms being used.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, so I think they're going to, their reputation is going to take a hit. And I think customers like this, you know, will be, you know, all my reassurances can't, you know, make them remove the taint of an FTC action against a company.
Right. Right. Okay. Great clarification, Dr. Hoffman. For those taking Ostanol,
But here, my experience with Ostanol, my biggest knock on it, it's a very expensive product. And I actually prefer strontium, which is much less expensive in terms of enhancing bone. But there's some people who can't take strontium or don't want to take strontium for some reasons.
Strontium didn't agree with her, so she can't take it.
Yeah.
So she was taking Ostanol.
Exactly.
Right.
So Ostanol, for some patients, has been effective, and for others, not as effective. But I remember distinctly, I had one patient who could not take strontium, and I said, oh, you know, you're going to lose bone. Well, you can try Ostanol. I don't know that it's going to work. If you're willing to, you know, take it aggressively, it's going to be expensive. And she had distinct improvements in her bone density.
Terrific.
I still would recommend Ostanol for people who have a fracture, because I think it helps with healing. That's one of the things.
I took it for a broken toe.
Bone morphogenetic protein.
Yeah, I took it for a broken toe.
And it healed, but who knows if it wouldn't have.
Right. Who knows if it wouldn't have anyway. True. But
did you have arthritis after that? Terrific.
How'd
you do it?
I bashed it into the door frame of coming in, out of the bathroom. I just didn't see and I bashed it and, my God.
Like a nighttime bathroom call?
Right. It was actually early morning, but I came to work, and by the time I got, I remember, my foot was just killing me. I had to wear a surgical shoe.
A few
weeks. Oh my gosh. For broken toe. Yeah.
Right. You know, you use the other anti-inflammatories, Wobenzyme, things like that. Right.
All of that.
Right.
All
okay. I mean, I have a protocol up there. It's an, the bone protocol I have includes Ostanol, but you know, if you don't like Ostanol, I think you'll get benefits from, you know, from using other products.
True.
Yeah.
Cheryl, thank you for bringing this to our attention.
Yeah.
Much appreciated.
And I don't know if it's going to affect its availability on FullScript. I think there's no reason that it should not be available.
Right.
It's not like it was taken off the market. It's just that they criticized
There's not harm. It was about the advertising.
They were hawking it too aggressively, perhaps.
Yes.
You know.
So then FTC wanted to muzzle them.
Correctly, but they weren't playing by the rules.
Right.
They pushed the envelope on claims.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
okay.
it. All right. Good. Good. That's an opportunity for clarification.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that, and thank you for calling that to my attention. Let's pause because we divide our podcast into two parts. Layla, what's coming up?
Oh, will vitamin C make my reflux worse?
Okay, interesting question. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. This is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.